I want to begin today by considering the flow of the passage. We're studying the Beatitudes, which is in Matthew 5, and we've been moving our way through this. We have a few more before we'll get to the end of what's called the Beatitudes, and the Sermon on the Mount keeps going after the Beatitudes, and so I'm praying whether I just want to keep going in chapter 5, and we can go into 6 and 7 or whatever it is that the Lord would have us do. But right now, we're focusing on these Beatitudes, which is the basis of our We Celebrate Recovery ministry. They use some steps there that are based on the Beatitudes. And it's been a really encouraging thing in my own heart to go back through and restudy these and then teach them to you. And so we want to look at the flow of the passage, because each one doesn't set there all by itself. It's in a flow, and it goes something like this. Once you recognize that in God's presence that you stand spiritually destitute, that you are empty-handed, and that you have nothing you can offer to God to help Him save you. Zero, nothing. Your hands are empty, mine are empty. And then out of that, you have this deep sense of helplessness, causing you to mourn and grieve over your spiritual lostness and sinful condition. That driving you to your knees in confession and repentance and meekness before a holy and just God. And then in humility, hungering and thirsting for a righteousness you can't earn, you can't attain. And yet, you got to have it. You want it. Then God, at that point, out of compassion and mercy, cleanses your heart. Because the Bible says, for only the pure of heart will see God. Only the pure of heart will go to heaven. And that's why Jesus came. He came to do that for you and me. When God moves to change us on the inside, changing the attitude of our heart, it will be seen in how we live our lives. John MacArthur said this, quote, Christianity is something that happens to us at the center of our being, and from there it flows out into the activities of our lives, not the other way around. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, a Christian is something before he does something. If you choose by faith to move along the path of the first four Beatitudes that we've already looked at, and you choose to do that, that something will take place, something will happen in your heart and life. You will become a merciful, compassionate, helpful person. That will happen. Jesus said in Matthew 5:7, blessed or happy or contented or satisfied are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We need to understand what this beatitude means, because there is some confusion on this particular one. What does it mean to be merciful? Well, before we look at what it means to be merciful, I want you to clearly understand two things that it doesn't mean. So you need to see these, and then after I mention them, just kind of get rid of those in your thinking. Number one, what it does not mean. Number one, Jesus Christ is not saying in this beatitude, if you show mercy to others, you will receive mercy from others. Some take verse 7 and they say, well, if you're good to everybody you know, then in turn they will be good to you. One writer who takes this position says this, this is the great truth of life. If people see us care, they will always care for us. Now let me ask you, have you found that to be true in your life? Because I haven't found it to be true in my life either. So I don't believe that statement is true. Because if it was, the most merciful man who ever walked the planet would have been given mercy by others. Instead, he was given the cross. Died on a cross. Put there by those he showed mercy to. Those that he helped. Those that he had compassion for. And then they in turn crucified him. See, all Jesus ever did was to show mercy toward all others. And look what happened to him. Why should we expect anything different? Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will surely persecute you. So don't be surprised how people might treat you, even after you showed them compassion and mercy and love. Don't be surprised about that, because the same thing happened to him, and the same thing will happen to us, because to show mercy to others does not determine or guarantee that they will show mercy back to you. And that's life. That's the way it is. That's the reality of it all. So that's the first thing it doesn't mean when he says that. Number two, the second thing that it does not mean, Jesus is not saying, if you show mercy to others, you will earn mercy from God. If you show mercy to others, then you will earn mercy from God. I don't believe that the Bible teaches that we earn mercy from God by giving mercy to others. It doesn't teach that. Like salvation, it doesn't work that way. The mercy of God is not something deserved or earned. It is a gift that is given to you and me. If we were given by God what we deserve, it would be judgment and condemnation. But God gives us unconditional mercy. And so it doesn't mean if I'm merciful to you, then I got it made because God is going to respond in like manner to me. It doesn't mean that. What does this say? What does it mean? This says that being merciful to others is not a condition to receiving mercy from God or anybody else. It's not a condition. It is proof. Showing mercy is evidence that you have received God's mercy, because there's something that is true. You cannot give what you don't have. And none of us have access or in our hearts divine mercy. None of us can give what we don't have. We cannot give forgiveness unless we have forgiveness. Mercy unless we have mercy. Compassion unless we have compassion. And so we can't give what we don't have. But it's something we can't earn. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. God chooses to give it to us as a gift. Paul said this in Titus 3:5. He says, Christ saved us according to His mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. We all deserve judgment and punishment. We all deserve hell. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short. We all fall short, don't we? None. There's no exceptions. There's only one that ever lived a perfect life, and that's Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came and he offers mercy. To give us mercy. And that's speaking of salvation, our salvation. And so Jesus does not say if you show mercy to others based on those good works, then you will have mercy from God. It doesn't say that and it doesn't mean that. What does it mean when he says this? Let me give you the meaning of the word merciful. The Greek word that's used there means to be actively compassionate or to be benevolently merciful. What it's saying is it's compassion in action. That's mercy. It's not just saying, I feel your pain, and then walk off and do nothing about it. It's saying, I feel your pain, and then doing something about it. That's exactly what Christ did. Because he was merciful, he did something about our problem the problem we have of sin. Spyros Zodiotis, he went home to be with the Lord in 2009. He was born a Greek in I believe it was Cyprus, to Greek parents. In his commentary on this passage, he says this. He says, this Greek word in Hebrew is difficult to translate into English. And let me stop there for a moment. I learned that not too long ago, because I never really thought about it that much. But I was doing an Hispanic wedding, and the groom didn't understand Spanish. And so I had to have an interpreter. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, he didn't understand English, and so I had an interpreter. And I was talking to the interpreter and to the groom, and they said the problem is that here is that there are multiple Spanish words for one English word. And so when I was going through the vows, he was having trouble, this Hispanic groom, translating it in his mind and saying it to his prospective wife, because he said, well, there's multiple words. Which one do I use? And so there was a difficulty there. And so we see the same thing when it comes to Greek and Hebrew, when it comes to translation. So he says this, it's difficult to translate this particular Hebrew word in English. Then he says this, it does not merely mean sympathy as we usually think. That is feeling sorry for someone in trouble. But it's referring to something deeper than that. It's talking about empathy. It's the ability to get right inside another person's skin so that we see things with his eyes. We think things like they would think. And we feel things like they would feel. And he said this, isn't that exactly what the Lord Jesus did because he was merciful? He identified himself with us sinners. He was not a sinner himself, but he took upon himself our own sin and he tasted the consequences of sin, which is death in his own body. In being merciful to us, the Lord Jesus actually crept under our skin of flesh and blood and became a man. It's because he's merciful. This says when you see people in need, be merciful or put yourself in their place. Walk in their shoes. And here's the big difference in mercy, God's mercy, even those who do not deserve it. We could paraphrase this like this. Blessed or happy is the one who identifies with and assists others in need, who gets inside their skin so completely he sees with their eyes and thinks with their thoughts and feels with their feelings. That's what Jesus Christ did for you and me. And so the difference between worldly mercy, because we see that taking place, especially at Christmas time, right? There's worldly mercy. People act merciful in giving at Christmas time. But the big difference between worldly mercy and divine mercy, God's mercy, the kind of mercy he wants us to have, is that it's given even to those who don't deserve it. It's given even to those that we might consider our enemies. Now think of someone that you would categorize as your enemy and go show mercy to them. Get inside their skin, walk in their shoes, and then be merciful to them. See, it's easy to love the lovable, isn't it? But the unlovable, that's a totally different story. But that's this mercy that we're looking at here. That's the difference between the world's act of mercy and God's act of mercy. And he asks us to be merciful like he is. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan found in Luke chapter 10? Remember that story? It was the story of a man who was on a journey. And as he went on his journey, he was attacked by some robbers. They beat him, stripped him of everything that he had, including his clothes, and they left him for dead. Three travelers came by. This hurting man, a priest, a Levite, and a lowly Samaritan. The only one who had compassion on him was the Samaritan, the one who was hated and looked down upon by everybody. That was the Samaritan. He's the one who stopped to help. And then when you get down to the end of the story told by Jesus in Luke 10, it says this in verse 36 and 37. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Verse 37, he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Did the robber deserve it? No, the Samaritan didn't even know him. So he didn't know if he deserved it or didn't deserve it. He didn't know if he was a good guy or a bad guy. He could have been a criminal as far as he knew. He just acted in mercy towards him. He helped him. He helped the stranger, even though he didn't know him. The question I want to ask is, how do we become more merciful and compassionate towards those in need? How do we develop a mercy in us that would even be merciful towards an enemy or someone who doesn't deserve it at all? How would we become that kind of person? I believe the answer to that question, the answer to how to become the kind of merciful person that Jesus Christ himself was, who extended mercy to you and me who didn't deserve it, is in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. This is the one place that we find the same exact word used. It says this, speaking of Christ, for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that, purpose clause, now here's the reason why he had to become human in every way, like we are, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. So why was Jesus able to be a merciful and faithful high priest? Because he allowed himself to be made like we are in every way. He allowed himself to experience what we experience. He literally got under our skin, walked in our shoes, was tempted like we're tempted, experienced hunger, experienced rejection, experienced the pain that we go through. Why did he allow himself? God, who never experienced any of that in eternity past, so that he could be merciful to you and me and be that faithful high priest. Let me ask you this question. Why do you think that it was the Samaritan who stopped to help the man who had been beaten and robbed? Why him? Why wasn't it the Levite or the priest? Could it be? Because as a Samaritan, he knew what it was like to be in the man's shoes. As a Samaritan who was rejected and picked on and maybe even experienced beatings because he was looked down on. He was the lowest of the low in his culture. Do you think maybe that was why he had compassion and mercy on the beaten man? He grew up in a hostile world and may have even been beaten half to death in his life, or at least knew someone or was related to someone. Don't you think a slave will have greater compassion for a slave than, let's say, a free man would have? Or what about one who's been abused? Don't you think one who has experienced being abused would have more compassion and more empathy and be more merciful to someone else who's been abused? Or what about one who's been addicted or divorced or whatever it might be? Don't you think most likely they would be more compassionate and merciful and understanding towards those because they've walked that path and been in those shoes. Does it mean because we haven't that we can't be merciful? No. It's more of a choice that we make than a feeling that we have. Because how can I feel what they feel if I never grew up abused? How could I feel? How could I empathize? But I can choose by faith to walk in their shoes. It's through the experiences of life that God gives us the ability to get right inside the other person's skin and know how they feel. It's through those experiences. And so I believe this. One of the reasons why God allows you and me to go through tough times, go through difficulties or pain or sorrow, He has a purpose in mind. He says, then you will be more merciful and more compassionate, and I can use you in their life. It's through those experiences that we can feel what they feel. Luke 6:36 says this, Luke 6:36, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. There's a story that's told about a Christian prisoner. Let me read it. He clutched his blanket tighter about him. His arms hugged his drawn up knees, not so much to stop the trembling, but rather to put flesh against flesh. Curled up like a ball, he sat in the corner of his damp, frigid cell. Get the scene? He'd been so preoccupied with the cold, he hadn't heard the approaching footsteps. Startled, he watched the form of a bleeding, beaten human being tossed in the opposite corner like a filthy rag. His new cellmate was naked from the waist up, sobbing. He slumped in his corner, head down. As the man surveyed the condition of his new cellmate, he thought, he'll never make it through the night. He'll be dead by morning. Then came that still, small, familiar voice. Give him your blanket. But Lord, if I give him my blanket, I'll not survive the night. I know. But you will be with me. Give him your blanket. The human ball slowly stretched out, assuming the stature of a man. The blanket slipped from his bent shoulders. He walked stiffly across the cell and handed the man his blanket. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ told me to give you my blanket. For the first time, he saw the man's face. It was incredulous with hope. That night, the giver of the blanket died. Another grain of wheat had fallen into the ground. The recipient, however, lived. And in later years, he told the story over and over and over again. And why wouldn't he? Or why wouldn't you if it was you, right? Why wouldn't you tell the story over and over? He had found life through the loving mercy of another. He had not only found physical life, but eternal life through the one who said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." He told the story of the one who was merciful towards him and gave him his blanket. And as he did, he gave his own life. And isn't that what Jesus Christ did for us? He saw us trembling in the corner, naked, with no hope, not going to make it through the night. And he stood up and gave us his blanket, gave us his life, clothed us in his righteousness so we could live. And as a result of all of that, he too died. And what should we do? Just like the fellow in the story, tell it over and over and over, because he sacrificed his life so we could live. So we've seen that mercy is compassion in action, even to the point of sacrifice. One more thing to know related to this, and then we're done. Mercy is expressed through forgiveness. Mercy is expressed through forgiveness. If you cannot forgive someone, it's because you lack mercy. And one reason why you lack mercy is because you're not walking in love. Psalm 130, verses 1 through 4, I want you to notice the connection between mercy and forgiveness in this passage. It says this in Psalm 130, verse 1, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. With you there is forgiveness. We learn here in this passage that forgiveness flows out of mercy. And so the reason why we choose not to forgive those who have injured us, remember, mercy is compassion and action towards the undeserving, or even the undeserving. Forgiveness flows out of mercy. And we also see in another passage, it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, that mercy flows out of love. They're connected. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. And so mercy flows out of love. Love takes us to mercy, and then mercy takes us to forgiveness. It's a progression. And you can't have one without the other. But God, being rich in mercy, we should thank God for that, because of the great love which he had loved us there. Pastor David Moore tells of the time that he was visiting a prison. And while he was there, he visited a man named Tex Watson. Some of you might remember that name, Tex Watson. Tex was one of the mass murderers from the Manson family. So this goes way back. Pastor Moore wanted to interview him because he had heard that Tex Watson had become a born-again Christian, and he wanted to find out for himself, because everybody seems to find religion in prison. So he said he was really impressed by the man's spirit. You would never have guessed by looking at him what he had done. God did a wonderful thing when he changed Tex Watson, giving him a blessed life. Tex told about a woman who had been in to see him a week earlier, and how merciful it had been as they visited together. She was a believer in Christ, and he was a believer. And they talked, and they laughed, and they apparently she had come to see him. If he was a for real Christian, kind of like what David Moore did. And towards the end of their conversation, good conversation, blessed conversation, she got very serious. And she said, there's something I need to tell you, Tex. And I could not tell you this until I knew that your faith was genuine. My last name before I was married was LaBianca. You killed my parents. And Watson at that point began to cry. And she began to cry and said, quote, I am here today to tell you I forgive you. That's loving mercy in action. That woman knew the blessed life, the serenity of soul, because she chose in God's strength to be merciful, to forgive even one who had killed her parents. When we choose to not be merciful, what happens is we will exchange God's blessing for a bitter soul. And Proverbs 11:17 in the Amplified Bible says, "The merciful and generous man benefits his soul, for his behavior returns blessed to him. But the cruel and the callous man, or the unforgiving or unmerciful man, does himself harm." Conclusion. One more story. A woman wrote a note describing what had happened to her in her life. She said, "I caught my husband making love to another woman. He swore he'd never let it happen again. He begged me for forgiveness, and I couldn't. I wouldn't forgive him. I was so bitter and so incapable of swallowing my own pride that all I could think about was getting revenge. I was going to make him pay, and pay dearly, for what he did to me. I'll have my pound of flesh if it's the last thing I do. I filed for divorce, even though my children begged me not to. And even after the divorce, my husband tried for 2 years to win me back. But I refused to have anything to do with him. He had struck first, and now I was striking back. All I wanted was to make him pay, and finally he gave up and eventually married a young widow with a couple of small children, and he began to rebuild his life without me," she said. "I see them occasionally. He looks so happy. They all do. And here I am, a lonely, old, miserable woman who allowed her selfish pride and foolish stubbornness to ruin her life. That's where bitterness and revenge will always leave you, in the gutter of regret. There is a better way than that, a much better way. Blessed or happy, contented, satisfied are the merciful, for they will show mercy, or they will be helpful." That's the title of my message. Happy are the helpful. Jesus tells us, once we go through the path of the Beatitudes there, each one of those, then we will become merciful, helpful, compassionate people, even towards those that have hurt us. And the result is happiness and contentment. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we admit, even though we admit that we can't do this, we can't do what it says in this beatitude on our own, by ourselves, but we're told that we can do it as we lean upon you, as we trust in you, as we look to you for our strength. Father, thank you that even that is being merciful towards us. And so we thank you that we have a merciful Father in heaven who extends mercy and forgiveness and compassion and love towards us. Help us, Father, to treat others that same way. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.